You know, choir, it looked like you were having fun doing that song, and it sounded it too. Thank you. If you ever go to the mall the week before Christmas, you know what a zoo is, right? The closer it gets. And anyone foolish enough to go shopping on Christmas Eve, well, you know what? I think you've seen a small glimpse of what hell is like. On Christmas Eve, the only ones that go out are those last-minute shoppers who were crazy enough to let things go till that last minute. And if you've ever been one of those last-minute shoppers, you know the feeling of having to get something, anything, at the last minute. You need a gift. You don't have time to look around or think about what that certain person really needs or wants. You've just got to get something to check off the box. I remember one Christmas that my oldest brother waited until the afternoon of Christmas Eve to do his shopping. He barely made it home that evening. And needless to say, we all got some really strange Christmas gifts that year. But when you wait until the last minute, you have to settle for taking anything, anything at all. And it doesn't matter if it's the right size or the appropriate gift. You feel obligated to buy a gift, even if it isn't appropriate. Now, on the other hand, my grandmother, she would spend months looking for just the right gift for each one of us grandkids. And when I would open her gift on Christmas morning, I was always surprised by what it was, and happy, and pleasantly surprised. It was just the right book or toy or whatever it happened to be. It was just what I wanted. And to this day, I can remember several gifts that she bought for me. That's pretty remarkable because she's been dead over 50 years now. You know, we sure can't blame Hallmark if we wait until the last minute. They've had Christmas cards on sale since August. And we can't blame the stores. They decorate for Christmas. Well, it used to be Halloween. I think places like Lowe's and Home Depot, don't they start the stuff at Labor Day, putting the Christmas stuff out? You can't blame the stores. Half of our neighbors put their outside lights up and the tree before Thanksgiving. I did the same thing. In that nice weather, I'm not standing out there in the wind and cold hanging Christmas lights. I'll do it when I get a good chance. And the radio stations have been keeping us informed of how many shopping days there are until Christmas. It's not their fault if we fail to heed the warning signs and get our shopping done early. All of the warning signs have been there for months. We have no one to blame but ourselves if we fail to heed them. But I think that sometimes we get a little too used to seeing the signs that Christmas is coming, right? It's just so long anymore. It has no sense of immediacy. We get lazy. We keep saying, there's still months and months until it's Christmas. I don't need to do it today. And then Christmas Eve is suddenly here. And the panic sets in, and that last-minute shopping spree is on. And you spend too much money for things no one wants or needs, but at least your obligations have been met. At least there's something to put under the tree on Christmas morning. Now, when John appeared in the desert preaching that the time of God's judgment and God's salvation was finally coming after all of those years of waiting, coming after so many warnings from all of the prophets, coming at long last. Well, then the panic set in because it was like Christmas Eve and no gift. The people were saying and doing anything to make sure that they were covered. It was as if Christmas had come and the gift still had to be bought. If it would help them to fall back on their heritage, so be it. If getting water poured over their heads, oh my gosh, that was a New Yorkism, wasn't it? Water. If getting water poured on their heads would do it, they do it just to get it done. If it meant that they had to go into the desert to hear some wild man rant and rave at them, that was okay too. I mean, after all, the important thing was that you get the job done, right? It doesn't really matter if it's not quite the right thing or if your heart isn't in it. It was an insurance policy that they were buying. Just do what it takes and hope no one notices that you were caught in a pinch at the last minute. Just try to sneak on in under the wire. Act innocent Like, you were really ready all along, right? That'll do the trick. And so the people crowded around John the Baptist to get themselves baptized and to hear him preach. But their hearts and their minds were not really in it. They were interested in getting the outward things taken care of, but they didn't really intend to be changed on the inside. They were, after all, God's chosen people, the descendants of Abraham. They had nothing to worry about. They were covered. And it was as if John was caught in the badness of that last shopping day before Christmas. It was as if he was sitting in the food court when that lunchtime rush hit, and he was in danger of being swept away by all the people. He saw the crowds, and he felt their panic, and he saw the frenzy of that shopping spree going on around him. But he knew their hearts weren't in it also, and he began to preach. I love this phrase. "You brood of vipers," is what he called them. Anyone ever call you a brood of vipers? Who told you that you could escape from the punishment that God is sending to you? Do the things that will show that you've turned from your sins. See, John was going to keep them honest. He wasn't going to let them off easily. He wasn't going to let them just get dipped in some water and they go off rejoicing in what great last-minute shoppers they were and what a bargain they had gotten. And most of all, he wasn't going to let them cop out and fall back on the work of their forefathers. He wasn't going to let somebody else do the job for them and give them the credit. John was the last in a long line of Old Testament prophets sent by God to Israel. And he, like each one before him, preached that God's judgment was at hand. But John was different, and he had a greater sense of urgency than any of the other previous prophets, because he knew that the Messiah was already here. As he puts it, the axe is already at the root of the tree. And his words and his actions were often kind of rough and harsh and a little eccentric. But he knew that Israel was standing on the edge of an amazing time. The light had come into the world. Jesus was here. The time of God's judgment had finally arrived, and that big event was about to take place. The kingdom was coming. The time of rejoicing was just around the corner. And it still wasn't too late, almost but not quite, to get that last little bit of shopping done. And the time for us, too, to act is now, before it's too late. It's time to turn to God with a humble heart and with the desire to live a new life. Because the outward actions and rituals that we think are so important, they're not enough. Our hearts have to be there too. What we say and do has to reflect what's in our hearts, or it's useless. We need to do more than just come to the celebration with a gift. It needs to be the appropriate gift. See, in the time of John the Baptist, people thought that it was enough to be a member of the people chosen by God. They thought that it was enough to be a descendant of Abraham. They thought that it was more than enough to take care of business, that God expected nothing but that from them. And how often do we fall into that same trap? Well, I'm a good Presbyterian, or I'm an elder or a deacon. Five-time deacon, maybe, for some of you. I'm a pillar of my church. I never miss a Sunday. And I'm even on time for Sunday school. Not many of you guys can say that either, by the way. How many external things do we hold up to God as signs, as proof of our worthiness to be saved? How many gifts do we bring to God as tokens of our worth? All of them inappropriate or incorrect. All we really need is a heart ready and willing to be given to God, a heart ready and willing to be broken open for God to fill with love. Baptism isn't enough. The faith of our parents or our spouse isn't enough. How much money we put in the offering isn't enough. How much time we devote to serving others isn't enough. You see, John the Baptist is here to keep us honest too. Yes, the time to rejoice has come at last. But he reminds us that we can't live changed lives unless our hearts are changed first. "You brood of vipers," he says, "to us too. Who told you that you could escape from the punishment God is about to send? Do the things that will show you have turned from your sins." It's kind of funny how Luke tells us that John preached the good news, especially when it starts out with, "You brood of vipers." Can God's judgment really be good news? Is the possibility of being judged ever a good thing? The Advent season points us to the fact that God is indeed coming to judge the world. And that is good news, because God's judgment means that death is not the final answer, but that there's the possibility and the hope for new life. God showed his judgment over us in the gift of a baby lying in a manger. God's judgment is revealed to us in God's love and care for the sick and the poor and the outcast. The depth of God's judgment is shown to us in Jesus' death on the cross. And God's judgment is revealed to us in the promise of new life that comes from Christ's resurrection. Yes, God is coming to judge the world. And that is not only good news, but the best possible news that we could ever receive. The time to rejoice has come at last, and we can rejoice in God's judgment over us. The God of judgment came into the world as one of us. What's that, John? Yep, I almost forgot. "You brood of vipers, who told you you could escape the coming judgment?" Thanks, John. We need to remember that. We need to hear that message, not just at Advent, but every day of our lives. We need to remember to get that one gift that we really need this Christmas, the gift of a heart that's ready to be changed, a heart ready to be overwhelmed by the good news of God's judgment, a heart open to receiving the gift of God's love and grace. And we need to get it before it's too late, because as John says, the axe is already at the root of the tree. Christ is returning in glory. And it may be later than we think, but it's not too late. Amen.